Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews and gathered there, and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. The word of the Lord. Dear citizens of God's eternal kingdom, what is truth? This question has echoed throughout human history. What is truth? We know that truth is very important in every context. The boy with chocolate smudges all over his face is asked by his mother if he snuck into the cookie jar. He insists that he is not. She simply looks him in the eye and says, "Tell me the truth." Truth is important in all of our human relationships. The reality is, you can't truly have a close relationship with another human being if you are not willing to be honest with each other, to tell the truth to each other. Truth matters in every aspect of our lives. It certainly plays a role in all of our work. It even plays a significant role in the games that we play. Truth is especially important in the courtroom. Witnesses must swear that they will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And jurors, if you've ever been a juror, you also know that jurors take an oath to well and truly try the case and render a true verdict. So it doesn't surprise us at all that when the Son of God stands on trial before a human being, before a Roman governor, that the subject of truth would come up. Pilate and Jesus took very different paths to this moment in history. Pontius Pilate was probably born in Italy. He was probably raised in the heart of that powerful empire, while Jesus, we know, was born in Bethlehem, but was raised in the very remote area of Galilee called Nazareth, an insignificant village in a backwater province of Roman rule. And while Jesus was learning all the skills from his father Joseph of a carpenter and a mason, Pilate was making his way through probably first boot camp style training and then through the different levels of the Roman military until he was in a command position that led everyone to see that he had the qualities that would make a military governor. He was a soldier. When Jesus began calling disciples to follow him, Pilate, at that stage of his life and very near history, was selected to be the governor of Judea. Now you look at that title, governor of Judea, and it should tell you just in its essence that this was not an easy job. Since Rome had taken over this part of Palestine, it had always been rife with challenge for those who would try to rule it. There were untold number of uprisings amongst the people. And those who led those uprisings would range from those who would claim to be kings, descendants of King David, and those who would outright proclaim themselves to be the Messiah. Pilate may have heard of Jesus before. The stories of the miracles, the large crowds that he would gather, maybe even the disturbances of the temple cleansings, the two different times it happened, had been brought to his attention. But more likely than not, after Palm Sunday, there was no way that Pilate didn't have some understanding of who Jesus was. Through that triumphant spectacle that would call upon him, "Hosanna, save us now, Son of David," by the crowds in the streets, this would likely have been a concern to Pilate. It was the Passover. Pilate knew that hundreds of thousands of people from all over the inhabited world had packed into Jerusalem for their biggest festival of the year. It was a powder keg. They celebrated how God had delivered his people from a foreign oppressor, the most powerful man in the world of the day, the Pharaoh of Egypt. You can see where that might have the governor of the Roman emperor a little bit on edge regarding what was going on between Jesus and the people of the city. Truly a powder keg waiting to explode. So, when the Jewish leaders drag Jesus to Pilate's hall, insist on staying outside and demanding that Pilate come out to see them and present Jesus, early that Friday morning, the first thing the governor wants to know is what he's actually up against. So let's take that conversation between Jesus and Pilate, that's kind of the introductory interaction, and pull it apart a bit. So first of all, are you the king of the Jews? Pilate is trying to determine if Jesus is an actual threat. A simple yes or no will do, but Jesus has in mind having a very different conversation with Pilate. So he answers, "Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?" Jesus would probably love to talk to Pilate right now about what it truly means to be the real king of the Jews without the baggage of whatever Pilate may have heard as he prepared and then ruled over this ancient people. But Pilate wants to get to the facts of the case. And so he responds to Jesus, "Am I a Jew? Your people and your chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" So Jesus, he's ultimately saying, you're the one standing in front of me. I'm the one that's going to ask the questions here. But Jesus replies to him, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Pilate seems intrigued. "You are a king then," he responds. Now we're getting somewhere, Pilate's thinking. And Jesus answers him, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So you care about the truth, Pilate? Jesus is saying. That's why I'm in this world in the first place. So then Pilate asks his very famous question, "What is truth?" And if you think of Pilate asking that question with a bit of a philosophical, rhetorical tone to it, then you and I are likely making a mistake. Pilate was a military man. He was a practical guy. He had negotiated his way up the ranks of the political system, and he had a job to do. He knew better than most how the truth could be manipulated by a government, by a culture, by the accused when they were on trial. We all know too well from personal experience of the last few years how the truth can be twisted. Pilate looks at Jesus and says, "What is truth?" And he reminds Jesus, it's your own leaders, your religious leaders, your own people are saying one thing and you are saying another. Who am I supposed to believe amongst you? What is the truth here? During Lent, especially during Holy Week, we can't but listen to and consider the excruciating suffering, the physical pain that Jesus endured, the beatings, which were many, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the cross itself. But we might not truly contemplate or even try to understand the emotional, spiritual, intellectual toll that this had all taken on Jesus, the emotional pain, the sadness that he felt. Jesus says here that he came to testify to the truth. Where is the truth in the consideration of anyone other than Jesus in this moment? Those who led the people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, his own disciples, Pilate. There is only one way to God, one way to live through Jesus. No one understood better than Jesus in this moment how far all human beings had fallen away from the truth of how much God loved them. And that's what Jesus wanted for everyone. He wanted the crowds of Galilee to see him as the one God had sent. He wanted them to see him as more than just a man who could bring them earthly bread and control their weather. He wanted the woman at the well of Samaria to know about that living water that he could bring that would make her well up from within with the knowledge of eternal life. And here he even wanted Pilate, the man who was his judge by earthly terms, to see him truthfully for who he was, who he really was. Even now, in this moment, Jesus came to testify to the truth. Have you ever been in that situation? Where there was someone in front of you that you wanted to know the truth so badly. Maybe it was because of how much you cared for them. Maybe it was because of how much you saw that they were hurting, or just how much they misunderstood about the world you know through the eyes that God has given you in his word. But you wanted them to believe something desperately because you knew that if they did, it would change their lives. Maybe it was because of some poorly chosen relationship or addiction that was destroying their life, or some other kind of problems they were facing and refusing to acknowledge and admit that some of them are self-inflicted. You really only wanted these people to see the truth about themselves for themselves. If you know that feeling, then multiply that by 1 million, 10 million, 100 million, the 8+ billion souls that are alive on this earth right now. Jesus knew he had what Pilate needed. Jesus knew in that moment, he always knows, that he alone has what every soul in the world, in history, needed more than anything. And ultimately, he's saying, Pilate, if you are only interested in the actual truth, then you will listen to me. Not the kind of truth that is distorted by humans in their selfish power plays, where they hide the truth from God the Father. Truth that reveals his heart of love for any of us. But Pilate could respond with only what really amounts to being a very feeble question. What is truth? Whatever his intent, whatever his tone, it actually seems to be the end of this conversation, at least this element of conversation. If Jesus answered Pilate, the Holy Spirit chose to not have any of the gospel writers record it so we would know what that response was. Maybe he just looked at Pilate with the eyes that seemed to recede into eternity, with a love that reached the very depths of his heart. In essence, Jesus' reply in his silence could even be, Pilate, truth is what you're looking for and what you're looking at right now. I am truth, personified. Because whether we see it that way or not, God sees it very differently. Truth is not a fact. Truth is not a formula. Truth is not a theory. Truth is a person. Truth is the Word of God having become flesh. It is the reality of God's existence and God's interest in humanity taking on the form of a human being, a God-made man. And John makes sure we understand that Jesus is the final word from God in a number of ways that he writes in his letters and in his gospel. The final word of God, who is the only source of salvation. We live in likely the most confusing times in the history of humanity. On a daily basis, facts are spun at us in so many different directions for so many different reasons. From the facts that are used to try to get us to buy a product to the facts that are used to get us to buy into a candidate. Maybe we've trusted in people who presented themselves as something other than they really are, and we wonder what actually is the truth in anything. Even the experts, the scientists, the doctors, the economists, the judges, they all often disagree amongst themselves as to what the truth is. So how are we supposed to understand what is truly the truth for ourselves? What's the best path forward? What is the truth? We've asked this question so many times in so many different areas of our lives that sadly sometimes it's affected our faith. We read something from the Word. We hear someone else quote the Scriptures to us in a moment of our needing to hear it, and we ask ourselves the question, can that really be true? How can I know this is true? With everything else in the world being so uncertain, how can I know this one thing will always remain true? How can I be so sure of Jesus even? But in this life of so much uncertainty, with so many definitions and identifications of truth from so many different directions, we can know this for sure. That when Jesus was speaking to Pilate, he was ultimately saying to him, I was born into this world for the purpose of testifying to the truth, to be the truth and to reveal God's eternal truth, the very heart of God that is his love to a world that desperately needs to hear it. How can you be so sure? Well, watch as Jesus willingly goes to the cross to pay for your sins so that you can be sure there is no more penalty against you. Walk to that empty Easter morning tomb and realize that in his resurrection, Jesus is declared to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See life triumph over death. That's what Jesus wanted Pilate to see. That's what Jesus wanted Peter and all the others to see. And that's what he wants you and I to see. As he spoke it so clearly on that last night before he died, also recorded in the Gospel of John, he wants us to see him as the way, the truth, and the life. All for us. And Jesus still longs for others to know him too. So perhaps he will give you opportunities to have conversations similar to the one that he had here with Pilate. When someone from the world in which you live is desiring to put God on trial and put you on trial at the same time, when they're asking you very specifically and maybe very intensely why you believe what you believe about the truth and what you have to say about it, you can love them enough to speak it humbly. To speak to them like Jesus did here to Pilate. You may even challenge them with similar words and ask them, are you asking me because it's your own question Is it about what you believe? Or is it about something you have heard? What do you know about Jesus and his kingdom? It's in moments like that when the truth seems to be whatever anyone wants it to be. But the otherworldly way that Jesus testifies about himself here may be just the thing that people are looking for. And we know what Jesus speaks to us in his word is exactly what they need to hear. And the only thing that's going to make a difference. What is truth? Truth is Jesus. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from the faith. To the only wise God be glory forever and ever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.